This shall be the news according to me. Well, good evening, or I should say good morning, or good evening. I'm not sure what to call this. This is one of the first times I've ever done this, and we're going to see how this works. It is currently Sunday evening, and I am speaking to you on a Sunday evening, June 6th, Sunday, June 6th, at about 10:41 p.m., 2024. This show will not be published, at least that's the plan, will not be published until June 7th, the morning of June 7th. Now, keep in mind, it's like traveling in a time machine. Because if anything happens overnight that's really important, or during tomorrow morning, that's really, you know, noteworthy that I would, you know, have hot off the presses here at the news according to me. It's not going to be, you know, it's who knows? Korea could attack Taipei tomorrow, and I don't know why they would, but they could do that, and it'd be big news, and I wouldn't have anything about it on the show, but because this is real-time stuff. But usually it takes me, you know, half a day to get something posted anyway, so it really shouldn't matter. But this is the Monday morning show being pre-recorded on Sunday evening. It's just kind of weird for that kind of thing to happen. But having said that, the reason I'm doing that is because I'm going to be traveling tomorrow morning. Tomorrow afternoon I should be able to have a show, a normal show, tomorrow afternoon. I will also still be traveling, but I'll have a time tomorrow afternoon to do that. I have, right now, I'm in a hotel in Philadelphia. That's in Pennsylvania, for those of you who don't know where that is, along the East Coast. And tomorrow night I'll be in Dayton, Ohio. Actually, tomorrow afternoon I'll be in Dayton, Ohio. Until Tuesday morning, and I'll be heading home. But I wanted to do this show mostly because of the things that have been happening over the last few days, and it's all in the news right now. And I wanted to briefly mention some things, and at some point I want to get some video clip or audio, I should say audio clips, because you guys can't see video. I could play video with closed captions and with no audio, and that would be really interesting for those of you who are just listening to this. But Dr. Anthony Fauci.
Fauci, Mr. Fauci.
This guy, I'll talk a little bit about what's going on with him, but I also want to talk about his personality. Because as I have thought about this guy, and the way he has reacted to certain questions, the more I have seen his interviews with people, it's becoming clear to me that there's some things that are, one is like Gretchen Whitmer from Michigan. I'm not a doctor, and I'm not a psychologist. But I'm convinced that she is a sociopath. She has extreme issues. This is a person you don't want to have in charge of anything, but who desperately needs to be in charge of everything. She is a tyrant beyond belief, and she doesn't understand her. She has no self-awareness with that, with regard to that. She believes she's above the law. She believes that what she's doing is for the betterment of the state of Michigan, and that the end justifies the means, and that she is above reproach. Her decisions are, you know, it's the rules for me, or rules for thee, not for me, kind of attitude that is a very dangerous attitude for a leader to have. There is no leading by example other than the political theater before the cameras. And I'm made aware of this with the with Anthony Fauci as well, or Fauci, or however you pronounce his name. Have you ever heard anything close to an apology or to an admission of something that he did wrong? That is the question tonight. Have you ever found any time when Anthony Fauci has said he was wrong? No. He always has an excuse and a reason. Now, that kind of attitude, I'm going to tell you right now, leads to it. This is like a web of lies. When you can't admit that you were wrong or that you didn't know something. And what ends up happening is you come up with reasons and excuses for having said something or making certain decisions. And the problem is, when you were actually wrong or when you lied, and then you come up with these excuses for why you lied or these justifications for the decisions that you made that were absolutely incorrect. And the problem with that is that you dig yourself into a hole and you start to contradict yourself. And the deeper you dig that, the more you have to come up with more excuses, the more explanations you have to explain yourself on one side of the issue and the other. There was recently some video. It goes beyond the emails now. There's people digging up video of Fauci saying things that in the last 10, 15 years, and even some things right before this all happened. Now I'm going to give you a conspiracy theory hypothesis. This is all conjecture. I have no hard evidence. All I have is this gut feeling and an intuition, if you will, about this guy. The way he speaks, his attitude in general, and the way he carries himself with regard to things that he says, things that he does, and just his general demeanor, speech patterns. Things that he says. He has admitted to doing nothing wrong. This is maybe one of those harbinger moments. When he went out and threw a pitch, threw the opening pitch for a ball game. Was it the World Series? I don't know what it was. Went out through the opening pitch at some kind of ball game. And the ball went flying off the side, way off to the side. He could have rolled it between his legs and it would have, like a bowling ball, and it would have done better than he did when he was trying to throw it. He shrugged it off. Oh, well. He literally shrugged it off. He shrugged his shoulders and walked off. And then afterwards, his excuse was he had injured himself practicing days before. Now, I don't know if any of you have ever seen this or not, but there are a lot of times when little kids are playing ball and somebody throws the ball to them and then they drop it or they screw up or they dribble wrong or whatever, if they're playing basketball or whatever it is they do. And they'll act like, oh, the sun got in my eyes or I stubbed my finger. They've got an excuse. Something was wrong with my hand. Something was wrong with something was in my eye. When in actuality, they just messed up because they were unskilled. They were embarrassed. So they shrugged around that. Well, these are the kind of excuses, and this is the kind of personality that Antony has that is just driving me nuts. Now, keep in mind, this man makes over $400,000 a year, paid by the government, the federal government. He makes a lot more money in other investments and a lot of other things that he does. And in the middle of all this, he comes up with a book deal. Millions of dollars, I'm sure. The despicable part about this is that he has continually lied. The one thing he has not lied about, the only thing I know of that he's not lied about is the one thing is what is in my cup. Well, tonight I don't have a cup. I have a bottle. I have a bottle of water, and it's Niagara water. That's all I have. Now, I do have some sweet tea here. Earlier, I had some Pepsi. Once in a while, I'll drink a soda pop, but not very often. When there's no sweet tea around, I'll drink a soda pop. Right now, I'm drinking water. It's good for you. That's what they tell me, anyway. All I know is it makes me go to the bathroom a lot. So, I want to discuss a little bit about this issue of personality types and what's going on with our leadership right now. You have people who are basically of the mindset that they can do no wrong, that the end justifies the means, that they have no, no culpability in what's going on. And the media covers for them. It's blowing my mind the way the lines have been drawn, the things that are being said, and the way the truth has been and is being twisted to so many degrees. It becomes disheartening and disappointing, and in some ways, that's almost by design. I think in some ways, they really want us to just give up, especially with regard to election results and those kinds of things. That has happened in other countries, by the way. In Russia, people are so disillusioned by, they know that their vote doesn't matter, so they just don't vote. They've given up on the idea that their vote was going to count for anything, that there's any integrity at all to the election process. Therefore, they don't vote. They think it's a joke. It's very rapidly, potentially becoming that here in this country. Now, there are a lot of politicians who are trying to push back on this and trying to establish more integrity. I keep hearing these rumors about Trump being reinstated by August. Now, there was a really good argument I heard recently about common law. Now, there's one commentator that went nuts on. There's a couple of things I want to try to find again. One of them is this commentator that was talking about how there's no amendment in the Constitution, there's no provision in the Constitution, no framework within the Constitution to reinstate a president. Doesn't need to be, by the way. The Constitution is based on common law, and common law, basically British common law, believe it or not. The founders basically looked at British common law, as it were, and founded many principles within our own legal system based on common law. Now, that has to do with moral law. It's very closely related to that. It's you know, the idea, there's a lot of Latin words I could get into that would explain all that, but I don't know what they are. And I'm not going to try to razzle dazzle you with all that stuff. But let's just say that a contract based on fraud nullifies the contract and nullifies any decisions made under that contract. The Constitution is a contract with the American people. It's between the government and the people. And when that is violated, then there's a fraud there. I'm not going to get into the whole thing here, but there is potentially a potential for a president to be reinstated. You could say that I've heard this one commentator said the election was certified, the decision was made, you can't reinstate the president, even if you find fraud, supposedly. Even if you find that the whole entire election was a fraud, that you can't go back and make it right. I disagree. I think it can be done. Will it be done? I doubt it. I think it would require the Supreme Court to make a ruling, and the Supreme Court is not going to make a ruling, because you have the ultimate coward, the ultimate lackey, as the Chief Justice. This is just my opinion. The sad part of it is the whole idea of and I think there's some validity to this theory as well, that somebody has got something on Justice Roberts, and it could very well be the Epstein thing. I don't know what it is, but there's something very wrong with that guy in terms of the way he rules and the way he brings cases, everything he does. He's not one to push back. Clarence Thomas is the bravest, one of the bravest. Scalito's probably another one, but there's a couple of them. But it's very obvious that there's a cowardice among a few there. So, you know, getting back to the Fossey thing, there was a, if you just look at things on the surface for what they are and you don't listen to the media for a moment, President Trump was pushing hard on China. He was finally calling out the trade deficit. He was finally calling out trade issues and other issues with intellectual property and all kinds of other things. He was dealing with all those things. He was also maneuvering trade. Well, one of the biggest things we did was become a major exporter of energy. We became an energy independent country. And that puts a huge dent into the global energy scene, because, well, Russia also has a lot of oil and natural gas, and they're actually made an agreement now with Germany that they have a pipeline going to Germany with their fuel. That's a very dangerous situation right there. The really sad thing is that this is all going away now under the current administration. They're changing all that. The pressure was really on China under the Trump administration. If there was any one country that really felt the pressure from the U.S. with regard to trade and their prosperity within the world, their ability to manipulate the world, it was China. Now, if there was a country that wanted to do something to us, that was big enough that they could do something to the world, because they got their fingers in every part of the world, it was China. when you start to dig into the motivations and the people connected to China, including the, you know, including the Biden family, the Clintons, so many people in Washington, including the Republicans and Democrats, there is a large contingent of individuals in leadership in this country who are either beholden to them, to the Chinese, the CCP, or who have great, I would say, like marketing agreements, exchange agreements, or even to the extent of, I would say, blackmail type agreements with the Chinese. And it's whether directly or indirectly, they are beholden to them, subservient to them in some ways. The, you know, I mean, Eric Swalwell, for one. The, you know, the Biden administration and everything that was going on there with them, and how it's all those policies have been reversed all of a sudden. And you can't, you know, then Fauci is neck high in with the whole Wuhan laboratory and everything that was going on there. And one of the things he said in one of his interviews, and this is what really, I guess, really set my, just really lit my fuse when he, I heard him say this. And he was talking about how, well, we don't want to have a laboratory over here, a level four out laboratory over here, where if there's an outbreak in a place like Hoboken, or he had a couple different cities that he mentioned, we don't want that outbreak to happen here. If an outbreak happens, we want it to happen over there, where, and it's in China. Excuse me? Is that because you don't think it can reach the rest of the world from China? What is your thinking there, Anthony? Well, there's a couple different reasons why China is so convenient. One is that right there. They have that excuse for why they have it over there. Well, that way it's not over here on our soil. But ultimately, who controls it? They control it. How easy is it to spy on something if it's right there on your property? Or manipulate whatever's going on there. Control the funding. And how easy is it for someone here to manipulate funds there with back channels and everything else that happens there? Offshore accounts, Chinese bank accounts. Who knows where the money has flowed? You know, the old saying, follow the money. Well, it may not just be U.S. dollars. It could be yen. Could be all kinds of other things. And I guarantee you, there's more money flowing around than what we're being told or what we're even able to see at this point. So the funding and all the things that are going on there, it's, you know, it's easy to hide it because it's a shell game. It's in another country. And they've minced words so many times. And of course, you know, the whole thing about everybody says, well, Fauci lied to us because he said we shouldn't wear masks because they aren't that effective. He only did that to protect the frontline workers. And there are a couple of media outlets. I won't mention their names, but they rhyme with MSNBC and CNN, who were lauding him for this, saying that he was a hero for saving our frontline workers, for doing that. He stepped out and, you know, intentionally lied to us. Well, the question is, if the end justifies the means and a lie is okay in that kind of situation, you can't trust us because we can't tell us the truth. then who's to say that he wasn't telling us the truth then and lying to us now? And everybody says, well, if he lied to us about that, what else is he lying to us about? Well, what if he wasn't lying then? What if that was the truth and now he's lying to us? See, because either way, it's manipulative and conniving, and obviously he's able to do either one. Basically, Dr. Fossey thinks he's the smartest person in the room, whatever room he's in. He's the smartest one there. And you know, he goes up against individuals, especially Congress, and I have to say, Rand Paul, in my opinion, runs circles around him. I mean, Fossey's no dummy by any means, but he's certainly not wise. There's a difference between being smart and being wise. And Anthony does not fall into the wise category. I've heard him say some ridiculous things on some of these shows that he goes on and he talks. And now it's at the point, I've heard him enough now that I can tell when he's talking whether or not he's lying to you. He's making stuff up or whatever he's doing. One of the things that really bothers me is when he was asked point blank about the DNA issue in this mRNA synthetic vaccine. And here's how I understand it. This is how I understand it. It's been explained several times by different doctors, but this is the culmination of what I understand about all this stuff. Your T cells, now see, the natural immunity or your antibodies are different than T cells. People get them confused, and if there's an understanding that T cells are what create or what your body is your body's immune system. It's what creates antibodies, or it actually perpetuates antibodies in your system. It triggers the body to create the antibody. The T cells have a type of memory. That's the easiest way to put it. That's not really what it's called, but it has like a type of memory. And so your body can, if it's ever, maybe you don't have any antibodies in your body right now, but your T cells retain a memory to create those antibodies if you're fighting off that virus again. Now, this particular synthetic vaccine affects your T cells. It changes artificially. Not all vaccines do this, by the way. But it changes your T cells artificially. And what some doctors have said about this is that the trouble with this is it can run out of control. You have messed with the T cell memory system, and you've created an artificial template, if you will. And now the T cells can react to things that you may not necessarily need to fight off. Or it can switch off to things that you do need to fight off. And your immunosystem can collapse. It gets confused, it's trying to, this is my layman understanding of this whole thing. Is that it tries to fight off some things and doesn't fight off things it should. And the reason that they know this is because it has happened in test subjects, the animals. So it's very disturbing. It's very concerning, disconcerting. Now, in my opinion, Fauci needs to be held accountable for this stuff. And I don't know how that works. How do you hold one man accountable for an entire nation, globe, global thing that happened? His emails are very damning. They're very condemning. You can't get around this. Some people have read his emails and said that it just proves that he was working so hard. Look, he sent out an email at 11 o'clock at night, and the next day he was sending another email out at 4 o'clock in the morning. Hello, welcome to my world. I've done that. I've worked much later than that. Gotten up a lot earlier than that. Sending an email. Big whoop. You can lay down in your bed and send an email. You can send an email from your phone. You can be sitting in a hot tub, send an email. So don't tell me that, you know, this is some kind of, you know, hero move here. So I don't know. There's a day of reckoning coming, in my opinion. Now, I don't know whether that's going to be something that is a correction that happens in our lifetime, in our natural world here, or if this is something that's going to happen, you know, at the very end. One way or another, this will all be set straight. I do know that, and here's the ironic part about this. This is what blows my mind about who God is. I know for a fact that God loves Anthony Fauci. I know that he gave his son for him. He laid down his life for him out of love for him. Now, whether or not Anthony has received that or not, I am not going to judge that. But I know there is coming a day of reckoning when all things will be set straight. When the final word will be spoken and no one can argue against it. I'm looking forward to that day. And I hope that every word I've misspoken or disspoken or everything I've said that's wrong will be wiped away. And I'm sure there's a lot of that. But I'm counting on it. However, I also know there's consequences to the things we say as well. It affects other people's lives. And for those things, I am most concerned about. So I, once again, digress. We are rapidly moving forward in this world. The technology is upon us that can track us and control us. How are we going to respond to that? So, on this Sunday evening, and starting the first day of the week, by the way, and now it's carrying into Monday, which will be broadcast on Monday morning, hopefully about 7 o'clock in the morning. I'd like to thank all of you for listening. I'd like to thank all of you for liking, subscribing, passing this on to other people. I really appreciate that. So once again, I bid you adieu. Have a great night. Have a great day. God bless everybody. Continue to pray for our nation.